Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. We want to say welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I am Job Israel. Here with me today is my lovely rib, Rhea Serene Israel. And today we are dealing with the Passion of Christ. The Passion of Christ, what is that? What is the Passion of Christ? That's the big question because, you know, those of us that, you know, we watched a movie called The Passion of Christ and we got all emotional and we had every reason to be, especially if you love God. You know, you love the what Jesus Christ done for our sins. That's that thing. Amen. We love what Jesus Christ did for our sins. We've seen the movie, we got an idea, but here's the thing. Why? Why did he do what he did? That's the thing. Why would he do it? And who are we? And who are we? You see, that we, can overlook it, you know, and replace it with something like an Easter rabbit, you know. And that's for my brothers and sisters that's around the world that believe in Jesus Christ. What do an Easter egg, what do an egg in the Bible mean? A colored egg, you know. What do a colored egg mean in the Bible? What do a bunny laying eggs mean in the Bible? That's the other thing. You have to ask yourself that. And what do colored eggs mean? That's that question. And, you know, I, for one, believe in researching the scriptures. I believe that what we need to do is focus on what the God of Israel wants us to focus on. And that's his word. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And his sacrifice. And that's why we're having this conversation. That's why we're having this conversation right now. You ain't showing no cleavage.
Babe, you don't have to say that.
Well, I already did. I'm with you. I ain't gonna let you. Yeah. Get up here and looking like somebody's hooker.
Okay.
All right. So, what is the passion of Christ, right? That's the next question. That is the next question. Okay, why am I having problems now? The storm had great.
What happened?
Let me see. I think I get it.
Huh?
No, I think I can get it.
And you got your notes next to you?
Yep. Wow.
What happened, baby?
It is not. Let me go to, oh, there it is. Finally, let me go to my wall. Okay. Here we go. Sorry.
And the
lighting is excellent. It's all natural. You can turn those two lamps off. Okay, so what are we dealing with? The passion of Christ, the Father's sacrifice. Right? Try that again. The passion of Christ, the Father's sacrifice. Okay. I'm going to. So, what we're going to do is get started. So those of us, our brothers and sisters, if we can, our brothers, if you can uncover your head and stand and face Jerusalem, and our sisters, if you can cover your head as we stand and face Jerusalem and approach the Father. Amen? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us up our debts as we give our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory to God. In Jesus' name we pray, Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us to work. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren in their time. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God. Because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children, our children's children, and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy, send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them and hear us, and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well, and give them too a mind to perceive and eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and faith to perform. In Jesus' name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God.
You have your coffee?
Yes, ma'am. So, With that being said, our family that's on Sounds of Living Waters, we are going to include some family on Facebook and some new family on Facebook. Can you give me that comb out of there, baby?
What's the comb?
Yeah. Yeah, and once again, our new family that's on Facebook.
Yeah,
we have
right next to you, Papa.
Oh, thank you. So, brothers and sisters, just remember, we operate out of the King James Bible, and you're going to need your dictionary, because we're going to cover some of them things that God said. Okay. Amen. So, with that being said,
oily child, the oil on the leather seat. All right, babe, you want me this far? You want me this far apart from you? Is that even? Or?
That's fine.
You want it like this, and get that comb off the couch. Yeah. All right. Pillow for my back. Oh, my goodness. I didn't think I need a pillow for my back. As we get wiser, we have to take care of our bodies. Okay. Oh, even more. I'm going to say that. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm getting older. No. As we get wise. Okay, I got my water. I gotta remember to keep it this way because we can't peel the thing off the bottom. Okay, I'm ready.
You look good, babe.
You look good too. You always look good.
Yeah.
I do too.
That's why you're with me.
Spiritually, what?
All
spiritually,
of it. All in my skin.
All in your skin. I wanna live inside of you. I gotta live inside of you.
Please don't make me choke.
Let me live inside of you. Hallelujah. Let me live.
In Jesus' name.
I don't want to die.
Oh, God forbid.
Only to survive.
Not the second.
Okay, let's go.
Hell, nobody wanted that at first. People are saying, there's no God. They only created just to keep you stagnant. You believe in the Messiah. You believe in centuries.
Are you on a disaster?
You'll wait on the Messiah for centuries. Yeah, well, we waited for him to come, and he came, and here we are in the time that he said that was going to be here. And there it is. Ain't no way in the world these people projected this, what we are today. These people would have never, ever would have knew that we would be under the influence of the internet. And the internet was mentioned in Revelation chapter 11. Definitely a book of prophecy. So, you ready, babe?
Ready? I'm so ready.
Okay.
I'm born ready. Born
I'm going to bring the rest of
the USA.
I'm going to bring them in. You ready, ready?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, hold on. Here we go. Amen. Well, welcome our family on Facebook, to the blog, to the Sounds of Living Waters Blog Talk Radio Show. We are dealing with the Passion of Christ. You know, we've seen that movie, Mel Gibson, The Passion of Christ, right? What is his passion, man? The thing that he went through last tonight, because we celebrate the Passover 14 days from the month of Abib. When the new moon appears over Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, if you must say. And this particular day.
Did you just throw that way over there to the trash can and it went in?
It went right in, baby.
Okay, baby.
Man.
Okay.
We don't.
Okay, well, that's all we
centricity.
Okay.
Let it happen.
Let it happen.
bullseye.
You can do that again. The Passover, the Passion of Christ.
Why?
Mel Gibson.
Why? Why? You know, they did this movie called The Passion of Christ, man. And, you know, Hebrew Israelites seeing it, man. And they, I mean, we all got emotional concerning it.
Yeah.
We all got emotional. And because we understood. We understood the scriptures. And so we understand in the scriptures, we understood that what he went through. But I think what we really need to do is look at the whole process. This wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for him to do this. Just like it's not easy for us to set our minds that we're going to turn ourselves from the world, you know, and perform those things that belong to God, right? Amen. So let's get this started, what we always do in the law, you know, Leviticus chapter 3. And we dealing with, say again?
I'm just looking at make sure. Because I got to put it on the wall.
Yes, so.
Okay, I think that's good. Yep, I see you. Share it. See. Is that okay?
Right, that's perfect.
Okay. Share, and it's. Okay. There we go. Right.
Amen. So.
Leviticus, you say.
Leviticus.
Mm-hmm. Baby, did you pray? Did
yes, we did.
Oh, I'm blocked out. Okay.
Yes, we did.
Okay, so make sure. Leviticus.
Leviticus chapter 23.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Leviticus 23,
1 through 5. Right. Leviticus 23, verse 1 reads, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, Concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts.
Amen.
6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord and all your dwelling.
Now, the first thing is we must wrap our minds that all these things are, you know, now the chronological, you know, now we're looking at the law chronologically. And this is the only thing that I could say steadfast chronologically is the feast days. Everything else is kind of moved around for us to search the scriptures. So within the feast days, we have to search the scriptures, but the actual dates is chronological. Because they begin at Abib and they end at the Engadim. You see, so it's chronological. So we at the Sabbath day, right? That's the first feast. He said, now you do this every Sabbath day because I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. If I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, you better be here. Now, those of us that's having a problem with the Sabbath day, you may have a problem with the Passover. You may have a problem with the Passion. You may feel that, hey, why should I even keep that? That's old, you know. Well, okay, that's fine with, you know. But don't celebrate Easter if it's old. You know, we want to say, you know, that's that old law and this, that, and the other. Don't celebrate Easter and, you know, God forbid if you take tithes, right? We dealing with this passion, man. And it ain't the passion that he loved us. It was the passion that he threw his Father's will, not ours.
Amen.
His. Why? Because if you don't do the Father's will, we don't get salvation. So this is the biggest feast in the creation to me, because if he don't die for our sins, the creation is lost. And with that being said, being that huge, how can in the New Testament, when they say the Passover, the first day of unleavened bread, be a misprint when it's the biggest event for us, that our sins are cleansed and that we can approach the Father with a good conscience and that our sins is washed, man. I mean, from an infant until we get into the water. So, you know, for us to be little, you know, the Passover and say, oh, it's just a memorial. No, man. No. We ain't doing that. We're going to look at it for what it is. And you know, and I'm a stickler on the Passover being the first day of unleavened bread. In fact, we did a precept on the Passover being the first day of unleavened bread. And I called elders. I even talked to my big girl. I said, man, you know, we really need to look at this Passover, man. He said, what is it, dude? That's it. I never forget this day. I said, man, Passover is the first day of unleavened. This is over like, it's 2024. So this had to be 20 years ago. And from that day to this one, I haven't brought it back because I didn't have to. I did what my God told me to do. I tried to present it. It wasn't received. Nothing else left to it but to preach. Since then, you know, certain elders been trying to debunk it, but you can't because the law is evident. And I say this to anybody that believe in keeping the feast on unleavened bread, be a witness to yourself. Google the first day of unleavened bread and see what comes up. Go in your Bible and look from Genesis to Revelation and see anywhere in the Bible that the books say the 15th day is the first day of unleavened bread. Anywhere. And don't put nothing there. Don't add nothing to it. It has to say, like it says in the scriptures plainly, the Passover is the first day of unleavened bread. Well, if you're going to replace the Passover being the first day of unleavened bread, then you got to replace, let me reiterate that. If you're going to replace the Passover with with the 15th day of unleavened bread, then you got to replace the Passover with the 15th day of unleavened bread being called the first day of unleavened bread. Not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. Not that it's a high day, because it's a high day. I ain't got no problem with that. But which one is the holy convocation? Which one is the supersede? Well, the scripture testifies itself. Nobody worked on a Passover when we came out of Egypt. We was in a house hiding up under that blood.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. If we was the firstborn, we was out there, you die. Right? So the Passover is a life and death scenario. So we better know which one it is. The other one is this. Where in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, the 15th day is called the first day without adding nothing to it. Let the scripture say the 15th day is the first day of unleavened bread. And get that out your head that, yeah, this, you know, the New Testament, when it says the 15th, the Passover, the first day of the unleavened bread, that's a misprint. Bros, man, come on, sis. Y'all gotta look at this, man. This is the most important event in the Bible, man. If that's wrong, why even bother? I'm telling you, why even bother, right? So I brought this to my big L. I brought it to my brothers out there. You know, I grew up in the Word with. And I invited certain brothers, man, right now, you know, to come and sit down and chop this up. Refuse to do it. But they'll deal with petty issues with petty people, you know, being petty. You know what I mean? What are you going to deal with that dude for? That dude ain't talking about crap. How about deal with this Passover? That's a salvational issue. We want to sit up here and say, what's a salvational issue? The Passover is the highest salvational issue we can deal with.
Yeah.
And we're going to not deal with that. But we're going to deal with somebody that's childish, immature in the word, a giant no vice. I mean, a giant no vice. In fact, he don't even know he a no vice. That's how big a no vice he is. He don't even know what no vice means. And he out here calling people reprobates, but we're going to deal with that instead of dealing with this. And yeah, I'm talking about my bro. I asked him, I invited him many moons, man. For years, for at least 10 years, I asked him almost every year until I got tired of it. You know, you get to a point, you just say, man, you know, forget that. It is what it is. But now we're going to deal with somebody that's petty. And I don't want to think that we petty enough to deal with petty people. Because it is what it is. I mean, you call it the way you see it. You're going to deal with a petty person, then that's, you got to, Martin Luther King said, if you're going to put a man in the valley, you must come down in the valley with him. Well, there you are. Right. Right. So let's get in this month. Leviticus.
So you said to go into Google and say, what is the first day of unleavened bread?
What it says.
So when I asked Google that question, it said the Lord's Passover begins at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. It is immediately followed by the Feast of Unleavened Bread. On the 15th day of that month, the Lord's Feast of Unleavened Bread begins. For 7 days, you must eat bread without yeast. So two of the Sabbath holy assemblies occurring on the first,
summer, because no such thing as spring in
right.
the word.
We know. One occurs in the summer, okay, the Feast of Weeks or whatever. But it says, technically it says Passover. It is through Google. Passover, since everybody wants to run to Google. Passover is the first night, followed immediately by the week-long Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Case in point. The Passover is the first night. So just roll with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus is the first. He's the Alpha and he's the Alpha. Right? So he's the first. Everything about him is the first. But then we want to sit down and then say the 15th day is bigger than him. What's bigger than Jesus other than the Father? I'm just, give me something. Right? Like I said, you got some of us out here, oh, the Passover, just tell them more of you. Okay, all right, that's cool. You're that person. The Father said, that's my son. And he died for you, wretched man.
Mm.
And it's just a memorial to you, wretched man. To me, wretched man. Okay. Anyway, Leviticus chapter 23, and where did we leave off at?
I read 1-3.
Continue.
Okay. Let's go to Leviticus 23 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocation.
And you're going to find out in here that my family on Blog Talk, you know that we look for things like Christmas and Easter and Valentine's Day to pop out of the Bible. We're going to find out they just simply ain't that. So then when we search out those things that belong to God, we see other things pop up like this. Okay, so this is what we're going to keep and celebrate, and there's a big reason why. Continue.
These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season.
Amen.
In the 14th day of the first month, at evening, is the Lord's Passover.
The 14th day at evening is the Lord's Passover. That's what we're dealing with, all right? We're dealing with the Lord's Passover. Let's start this at Exodus 12 and verse 1. Exodus 12 and 1. When you receive it, read.
Exodus. And verse 1 reads,
mm-hmm.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you.
Mm-hmm.
Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb,
mm-hmm.
according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house.
Mm-hmm.
And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the soul.
Uh-huh.
Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb.
Come on.
Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, that's your bone. Mm-hmm. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat.
Continue.
And ye shall
stop. So this lamb had to be without blemish. It had to be perfect and without sin in order to be accepted of the Father, right? So what is this lamb that's perfect without blemish that needs to be accepted of the Father? Go into St. John chapter 1 and 29.
Okay.
St. John 1 and 29. And when you receive it, read.
St. John. St. John 1 and 29 reads, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
What? That's how big the Passover is. He's taking away the sin of the world. So we better make sure we got this day right. I ain't leaning to my own understanding. I'm sure not going to listen to no man. So what I'm going to do is search the scriptures and make sure that I got this right. Because I need to have this right. Right. So here come the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Now remember now in the law, this sacrifice had to be perfect and without blemish. Jesus, when he died for us, and we're going to read that, was perfect and didn't have any sins. Even though he was born in sin, he didn't commit any sins. On the death. None whatsoever. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 12 and let's pick it back up. I think we left off at 3.
Leviticus 12.
So Jesus is that lamb. He said, and put him up on the 10th day. Well, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, right? You count 10,000, well, you count 14,000, right? Because the kingdom come down on the 14th day from when he said, let there be light. No, we're not saying the whole creation began 12,000 years ago. I used to be at that school of thought until, like I said, I started researching. And I found out that, you know, there was time before time. I found out that there was dinosaurs. I found out that there was another world. There was different constellations before us, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. That's even coming. So we had different constellations even then before we was even created. We had a different constellation when the dinosaurs was on the planet. You know, and I thank God for the dinosaurs.
Amen.
You know, we was going through Wyoming. And I'm telling you, man, I thought I seen a skull of a dinosaur in the rocks of the mountains of Wyoming and Utah. You know, so that's a real conversation. Dinosaurs is real.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank God for the dinosaurs. You know why?
Why?
They make good gasoline.
Amen.
And if it wasn't for them making gasoline, there would be no whales.
Right.
We would have killed all the whales. And we would have burned down all the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Or we'll all be living in a warm place. Every last one of us would be living in the desert because we need, you know, because of heat.
Right.
Right. So that's that thing. So now the dinosaurs had a purpose, fossil fuel, so that we don't drain the, you know, these trees.
Amen.
And the whales and other things. You see, because we need lamps. We need heat. You know, we use gas to cook.
Amen.
You know, we use gas and propane. All that stuff is from them. So they had a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that was a different heaven and a different earth. But he said, I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And when he did, he said, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and even in the morning of the first day, that's this conversation. So from that point to New Jerusalem coming down, it's 14,000 years, right? 8 days from when we're created, here come the judgment. Here come the circumcision, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the ninth day of our creation, here come New Jerusalem. Why? Because we circumcised. We can see the Father. That's the whole thing of Abraham being 99 years old when he was circumcised. That's the whole thing of Sarah being 90 when she had Isaac. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that's the whole thing of Isaac being circumcised on the eighth day, right? Because we all taking part of the Passover, the Father's Passover. That's what Jesus offered Abraham when he first met him, bread and wine.
Amen.
Right? And that also bring in Ishmael. People want to bring in Ishmael like he a fornicator. He said, no, man, I'm going to make 12 princes out of him. So he definitely not a child of fornication. That is not a bastard. He's a child of a king. That lets me know that he secured the fact that Abraham is not only the Lord's anointed, but a king. He had kings.
Amen.
You know, and we already, the first king we think of is David. Oh, man, Isaac is the heir. He was a king. Jacob, the heir, was a king. Even though he wasn't walking around as one, he was. And the Lord's anointed. And from them, here we are. Right? So all these things play prophetic moves, man. So now in the 10th day of the creation, Jesus came and was put up on a cross. There he is, right there, Exodus chapter 3, 12 and 3. The 10th day, 10,000 years from when he said, let there be light, there go Jesus. Go ahead and look at it. Go look at it. Do the math. Write it down. Put some work in. Stop sitting around and waiting on somebody to put in the work for you so you can say, oh, that sounds good. I think I teach that. Du-du-du-du-du. Oh, man, put in the work.
Put in the work.
Put in the work. God know. He said, man, he got a problem with people stealing their neighbor's words pertaining to him and say, he saith. And know that they didn't research it. Come on now. There he is. Exodus 12 and 3. Continue.
I read Exodus 12, 1 through 5.
Continue.
Then we went to John 1, 29.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to Exodus 12, and let's pick it up at
okay, I was in Leviticus. You want me to go?
No, no, no. You're in Exodus 12 and 5 because we dealing with the Lamb without blemish. So John said he's the Lamb. Here come the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, right?
Yes, sir.
Continue. That's his passion.
Okay.
That's the Father's passion. Continue.
Exodus 12 and 5 reads, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat.
Uh-huh.
You know, Timu. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses,
mm-hmm.
wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it.
Look at the first day of unleavened bread mm-hmm. right there, because that's the first time it's mentioned.
Yes, sir.
And that's on the when? Passover. So this is the first day of unleavened bread, when you eat it with the Passover. Self-explanatory. We're witness to ourselves. We don't mess with my souls until the Feast of Unleavened Bread. I ain't went to the stove. I've been in the Word for over 20 years,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. I have yet to go to the stove just to buy a box of my souls.
Right.
Yet, you know what? Hey.
What?
How about some my souls? Case in point. Same thing. I'm sure you feel the same way. Yeah. And you got a choice between a Ritz mm-hmm. and a matzo,
mm-hmm.
and it ain't the week of unleavened bread, but Ritz is going to get it. You don't even want matzos with tuna because it kind of take away from it. But all right, it's cool. My man Paul Mazeluski, he making pieces with it. Go figure. He making pieces. So that's another conversation. But aside from that, we don't mess with that. So we are witness to ourselves. We don't take the Passover. We don't eat unleavened bread until the Passover. You know, and the other thing is, it's a feast day. Right, we're going to have a feast later on tonight.
Amen.
You know, we ain't talking about sacrificing no lamb once again.
No.
If you willing to go out here and lounge my wife and me and my family, oh, Job out there sacrificing lambs. I'm going to say, Ninja, before God in Christ, I said it's a feast day. All of them is feast days. And why not celebrate the Passover? He told us in Egypt to do it. Josiah and Hezekiah had the biggest Passover ever. And they didn't even mention the 15th day. If the 15th day was that big, why didn't they say, hey, we're going to have a day on the 15th day and we're going to invite everybody? No, man, they was focused on God and Christ, the Passover. So they had a Passover like none other, right? And then here comes Jesus. I mean, they was giving away food on the Passover that we all was having a feast, right? But they were sacrificing at that time. And then here comes Jesus. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. After they got through eating, he didn't say, hey.
After they was eating, okay.
He said he took bread and wine while they were eating. So they had other food there. But that bread and wine thing, you know, that little bitty cracker thing and that little thimble of grape juice, right? And a little cup of wine, whatever that may have been, that came from the Roman church. That came from them. So we're keeping the communion, we're keeping the Passover like they keep the communion.
Oh,
instead
wow.
of celebrating the Passover like Hebrews, like Israelites, like we celebrate the feast. You know, yeah, man, the whole world, you know, the whole country was in this, you know. They wasn't in it for no cracking, no wine. We was already crying in the wilderness. You brought us out here and ain't no food, ain't nothing. And just imagine God said, in my Passover, you shall eat it with bread and wine. Oh, man, we out in the desert. Oh, we got to eat bread and wine. We ain't getting no food. We would have really fell apart. That's what we do. But now in the 21st century, we're so slave indoctrinated. We're going to bring that slave mentality that the Quakers taught you. That, hey, that's the communion. You have bread and wine. Not the feast of the Passover, but bread and wine. Go figure, right? Continue.
Amen. Exodus 12 and verse 9.
All your Puritans. Go ahead.
I'm going to read Exodus 12 and 8 again. And they shall eat the flesh in that night.
Come on.
Roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roasted with fire. His head with his legs, and with the prudence thereof.
Come on.
And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire.
Come on.
And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover.
Why you got to eat it in haste? Because the sunrise, you got to get rid of it. And mind you, we're talking about a whole lamb that you roast in here. You know, some of us probably, you know, will roast a small lamb and make sure we don't get carried away. Why? Because we got to discard it. Nothing can remain in the morning. So this is the feast you ain't taking nothing home.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. In the morning, if it's food left, if it's wine left, it got to go in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're done with it. And then you get prepared for the 15th day for another feast. And you can have as much food and much drinks as you want. I mean, you know, of course, decent and orderly. But, you know, and now you can take food home. You can eat unleavened bread for as long as you possibly can before you cook again. Right? That's the idea. You know, because we're keeping the feast for what? 7 days now? So, yeah, let's do it big. Freeze what, you know, cook a big meal, you know, freeze it up and eat it throughout the week, whatever it may be. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. And Let's look at this a little further. Continue. Read down to 14.
Okay. Verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Exodus 12 and 11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment.
See, that's the other thing, man. You know, that's like going to New York City and all the firstborn in New York City died.
Mm.
Can you imagine that?
Mm.
Can you imagine that? Wrap your mind around that. All the firstborn in Germany died. All the firstborn in Tokyo died. All the firstborn in China died. All the firstborn in Russia died. All the firstborn in Arabia died. All the firstborn in Africa died. Wrap your mind around that. How many people died that day? You know? So this is life and death. We better have it right.
Amen.
Not only physically, but spiritually. You know, because we can't take the Passover with malice and hatred. And it's a lot. I've been seeing a lot of that this year, you know.
Ooh.
In fact, I had to separate myself from that nonsense, you know, because I ain't about that life. You ain't finna use the gospel that the God of Israel gave me for your gain so you could justify you dogging other people. I ain't about that life.
Yeah.
If I would have dogged somebody, trust me, man, this year, we'll get there. I know how to get at you. I know how to do that. I don't need help.
No.
You know, and the only reason why people ain't seeing me go out here because I'm trying to be more like God. I'm trying to be more like God. But I'm going to tell you this. I invited, like I said, people to sit down and let's chop it up. Let's go, let's sit down in front, you know, do a Zoom. You know, we sit down and we talk about the first day unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to do it. So, but they're going to pick and choose their fights. I'm going to pick on this stank face or this squirt over here, screaming out here for attention. You talk to me.
Okay.
You're a rubber mate. You're going to pick a fight with that dude. He ain't talking about nothing but calling people names. Right? Okay. That's childish. We did that in grammar school. But I said, come on, let's sit down and deal with this Passover. And the same people that got a problem with him refused to sit down with me. What'd that say? Let's do it live. Let's sit down in front of the whole congregation and let's make it right since we're going to bring up Elijah and the 400 false prophets. Let's do it like that. Let's do it in front of the whole congregation. Sit down and you could tell us why you keep the Passover a day late, right? You could tell us why the Passover isn't the first day of unleavened bread. You get all of that format. And the people get to discern between the two. But no, we got agendas. We got personal agendas against God and Christ. And that's where we go wrong at. That's where we go wrong at. Even Paul set up a time that he dealt with the Pharisees and dealt with those that was the elders of that day. He set up a time. They came out. Israel wasn't scared. They didn't take, you know, they wasn't scared to sit down and chop it up. If they didn't agree, they didn't agree. But they weren't scared to come out. I'm listening to fear. You know, to sit down in front of somebody and then somebody that's been following you find out you may be wrong. That's the last thing some of these people want to do. Well, that's sad because it's pride. And that's the spirit of the devil. Humility is Jesus.
Amen.
Why not? How about that?
Amen.
Show the people humility. Say, yeah, I'll sit down and chop it up. Yeah, let's see how this go. Anyway, let's look at this a little further. Let's go into exit. What did I say? We read down.
I just read Exodus 12.
Mm. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 27 and verse 1.
Matthew?
Yes, ma'am. Matthew 27 and verse 1. In fact, let's go back to 5 before we do that. Let's go back to 5.
Exodus?
Yeah, Exodus 12 and 5. And let's pick it up there. Because now we're finna bring in, now we're finna bring in the priests, right? Okay.
Okay. Exodus 12 and 5 reads. Go back. Okay. Exodus 12 and 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
Now, this is that thing. Now, the whole assembly, which would be the congregation of Israel, going to kill it. That represents Jesus because that was the whole assembly, right? Okay. Now, let's get into this. Let's get into that passion part. Let's go into Matthew 27 and verse 1.
Matthew 27.
In verse 1. When you receive it, read.
And verse 1 reads,
mm-hmm.
When the morning was come, all the chief priests
said, I don't want to go there yet. Not yet. Read Matthew 26 and 1.
Okay. Matthew 26 and 1.
Come on.
And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.
That's what we're getting to, right? Skip down to verse, let me see, skip down to 17.
Verse 17.
Yes, ma'am.
Matthew 26 and verse 17 reads, now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?
That's so plain and simple to me. That's almost like when I was in grammar school and they gave us them books that was like 5 years behind the rest of the children that's in our generation. And you see this, it say, see Jane run. See Jane climb a tree. See Dick run. See Dick climb a tree. See Jane and Dick climb a tree. You know.
Right.
You know, that stuff. Now, here it is. This is the same thing. It's just that simple English. It's just
right.
That plain.
It's
just that plain. It don't take no articulation. It's self-explanatory. You got to add nothing to it. Like Jeremiah chapter 10 and 4, when we're talking about the Christmas tree. They deck it with silver and gold. Immediately, we know they're talking about a Christmas tree, even though it don't say Christmas tree. But here it says, now the first day of unleavened bread came the disciples saying, where would thou that we prepare to eat the Passover? But that ain't what it means. Okay. But the Christmas tree in Jeremiah, that's a Christmas, but it don't say Christmas tree, but it say Passover here, but it don't say Christmas tree. Which one is it? What should I believe? Should I believe this or believe that?
You can give it this or give it that.
Case in point. I mean, just wrap your mind around that. Just think about that. Let us reason together, right?
Amen.
That's what God said. Let us reason together. You know, he said this to Ezekiel the priest in Ezekiel chapter 2 and 3. He said, I'm going to send you to my people. I'm going to send you to the children of Israel. And they're not going to believe a word you're saying. You know why? Because they hard-headed. But I made your head hard. I made your head as hard as flint. It's going to, when they get ready to talk smack, you like that ram that's going to fold them. You know when the two rams do like this?
Mm-hmm.
Boom. And one fold.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You see, so that's what it is. You know. So now we looking at this conversation, man, and I'm like, I know Jane rode a bike. I read it. It says Jane ride a bike. That bike ain't a bike. That's not a bike.
Mm.
That's not a bike. That's not what that means.
Mm.
Case in point. Right. Right. Continue.
Amen. Matthew 26 and verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.
See, and that's that thing. Now we're bigging it. Now he just brought up the grand scheme. He just prophesied of the new Jerusalem coming down from God on the Passover. He said, go to the city, and I'm going to keep the Passover with my disciples in the city. Why? Because if you made it through the great white throne judgment, he passed over our sins. Get it?
Amen.
If you made it through the judgment, the great white throne judgment, and you see God, because it says he going to sit up here, you say you're going to see him coming with clouds and great glory. And that's with all them angels, and they're going to be there to throw people in the lake of fire. You're going to see lightning and everything, and the Lord going to throw you in, and going to put you in an abyss. You say heaven and earth fled away. You're going to be like, where am I? Because I ain't never seen the, yeah, that thing. He said, now, after all of that, those of us that's left and those of us that came up in the first resurrection, my disciples, are going to eat with me in the city of my God, in my house. My Father had many mansions. There it is. Are we listening? The Passover is the Father's kingdom coming down.
Amen.
Continue.
Amen.
In the 14th day of the creation. Let me reiterate that. Remember now, people say the 15th day is the first day of unleavened bread. Let me ask you this. Will there be any leavening in the Father's kingdom? None. Because John said he's going to thoroughly furnace. He's going to thoroughly sweep his floor. Right? He's going to purge it. He's going to thoroughly purge the floor. Right? And sweep it, right?
Amen.
So that's the great white throne judgment. Mm-hmm. Like I said, do that chart. Do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Go to 15. And then start it at the 16 and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Count the 9, right? Because there's nothing after 9. You start back over to 1. That means 11, 21, 31. You start back over at 1. So there's no such thing as zero. So you start back over after 9. And you count from the sixth day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, as a memorial unto all the 9s that was born. How about Abraham? How about Sarah? Since we want to sit up there. You know, that's why we're missing those things, because we're too busy trying to justify ourselves by pointing out their sins. Ain't nobody clean before God. Better leave Abraham alone. He's the Lord's anointed, man. He's the first Lord's anointed. Mm-hmm. And he is a friend for God. He's a friend of God forever.
Amen.
The law said forever. Amen. And I ain't finna spit on my man, my best friend. Let your best friend, let somebody come at your best friend. Everybody getting up. Oh, yeah. Oh, who? What? What? And we talking about God, best friend, and his wife,
amen,
and his son,
amen,
his family,
amen.
That's why God came and visited. They were fornicators. Remember, Ishmael was 12? 11? No, he was 12. When God came and visited Abraham and Sarah and told them they was going to have a son by this time next year, because Ishmael was 13 when he got circumcised. And guess what? When you do that calendar, like I said, write it down. Do yourself, exercise yourself. Use your mind. Do something creative. You'd be surprised what you come up with. Count 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, 10,000,
11,000,
12,000, 13,000, 14,000 from the creation, right?
Right.
And then from Adam, you know, on the sixth day, you go 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000. See where you land at. You're going to see that Ishmael is right in that conversation. You're going to find out that the great white throne judgment takes place on the 13th day of the creation.
Amen.
Ishmael was circumcised when he was 13 years old.
Amen.
He represents the children of the flesh. On the 13th day in the creation, all flesh will be circumcised. And Isaac represents the children of the covenant.
Amen.
On the 8th day, the righteous is supposed to be circumcised. So and both of them meet right there. 8 and 13 meet right there. And dare I say, 1 plus 3 is 4. 4 plus 8 is 12. Get around it. It's all surface. The numbers ain't going to lie for you.
Amen.
Or me.
Amen.
That's what I love about this male chamber, this speech. There's the absolute truth, you know, as the Lord allowed me to see through the creation precepts. It's absolute truth. You can sit up here, you can make up all the stuff you want, but you ain't finna allow no numbers, because them numbers going to come back and say, no, I ain't there with you. We was good up until you went there.
Amen.
1 plus 1 ain't 3. Sorry, can't agree with that. Numbers going to make you a liar. And I hate that. I hate when I first came into the Word, I ran into this Muslim downtown, me and his other brother, you know, we were downtown on State Street, you know, we was hustling the scriptures and all that. We running into all kind of people, boy, Muslims, Buddhists, Sunday Christians, we preaching this gospel, handing out flyers and all that there, you know. Like, and I ran into this Muslim man. I was still green. I wasn't even 3 months, maybe 4, and I was already out there evangelizing with the folks, right? Ran into this Muslim. That's why in Chicago, man, it's hot, because that's what the priest said. This Muslim said, well, if your God is so great, why did he have to rest? I was stuck.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because the law did say he rested. But then I read, after I seen him, when I read my book from Genesis to Revelation, I found that he said, if he had arrested, he wouldn't have afterwards spoken of another day. If I had knew that that was there, I would have let him read. I said, here, read this and see what it said. And that Muslim probably would have been like, oh, I get it, I get it. He probably would have stayed a Muslim, but that wouldn't be in him no more. See, the idea first is the truth and not trying to convert.
Right.
You let the word of God convert whatever or change whoever it is, because that's what it said. The word, the law is perfect, converting the soul. That's the whole thing. You let the law do it. Eventually, like my elder brother Shaq said, hey, man, I heard this word, man, like 10 years ago. But it wasn't until I moved from there to out south that I found it. And I said, oh, okay. Now, it do make sense. I said, yeah. So sometimes the seed take a little longer than what we think. Like my man Big Samson, when he came to me, and God rest his soul, when he came to me and he showed me the word, and I was like, you know, yeah, man, whatever, dude, because he was working with me, and I was like, you know, I ain't hearing that madness, man. I'm buying him lunch. We at Subway. Subway just popped up in Illinois, and I was like, yeah, give me a double ham. No, I said, give me ham, cheese, da-da-da. Samson was like, man, you ain't supposed to be eating no ham, man. What's wrong, man? You ain't supposed to be eating that, man. Come on, bro. I looked at this dude, and I was about that life, man. Y'all really don't. I was about that life. I looked at this dude. I said, give me double ham. And cheese, he just looked at me and said, but then, about 6 months later, I remember what he said the class was. And I came in, and there he was. And I sat right next to him. That dude looked at me. You could have bought him for $1. You could have bought him for $1 because he was shocked. But that's how the word worked. It don't work in our season. It work in their seasons. We all grow in different manners. And you can plant a whole row of trees. They're not all going to grow the same way. The leaf patterns are going to be different. The height is going to be different. The width is going to be different. The girth is going to be different. Everything's going to be different. You know, because we all different.
Amen.
You know, nothing stay the same. Next season, that tree is going to have an entirely different look.
different leaves, different patterns, everything. Just like us.
Read on.
Amen. You want me to
use that
18?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm going to read 17 again.
Come on.
Now the first, we're at Matthew 26, verse 17.
Uh-huh.
Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where was thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?
Uh-huh.
And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master said, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.
There you go.
And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to
you
say
know
unto
the,
him,
you know what that means when God going to say, one of y'all is going to betray me. That means that one of us is a hypocrite. Nobody want to be that hypocrite, but I'm starting to see a lot of that. I'm seeing a lot of people being Judas. I'm seeing a lot of people false being spread around the camp. People being betrayed left and right. Left and right. It's a whole lot of that going on. And then turn around and sit and eat with you on the Passover. Same time, same people, same person. There it is. Read on.
Amen. Ooh, okay. 22 again. And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me.
Keep your mind, keep your eyes on this guy. Read on.
The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born.
See, some people is born for destruction. Read on.
Amen. 25.
Come on.
Then Judas, which betrayeth him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said.
Ooh, that was bad news. I probably would have stayed on the other side of the room. Man, when he said that, I'd probably just, oh my God. Oh my God.
Thou hast said.
That's bad news, Jack. That's real bad news. Read on.
Amen. Thou hast said. 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread.
Wait a minute. As they were what?
As they were eating.
It's a feast day.
And as they were eating.
Eating.
And as they were eating.
Come on.
Jesus took bread and blessed it.
Uh-huh.
And broke it.
Uh-huh.
And gave it to the disciples and said, hey, this is my body.
See, they was having a feast.
Yes.
And part of the feast was the unleavened bread. So he said, make sure you got unleavened bread on the Passover so that when Jesus present you the unleavened bread, you'll be able to receive it and that you don't have leavening on the table because he can't present leavening. He has to present unleavened. That's why when he met Abraham with the Father's kingdom. He gave Abraham bread and wine. Same conversation. Read on.
Amen. Verse 27.
Yes, ma'am.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Case in point, it's a kingdom shot.
Right.
So the Passover is big, man. And we want to sit up and say, this is a misprint.
No.
You want to say, this of all things, of all events, is a misprint in the Bible. We are teaching that. Are we listening?
So listening.
Do we listen?
I'm listening.
Do we listen?
I am listening. I know.
Woo!
I know.
Read on.
Ooh-wee, baby. Okay. Matthew 26 and 30.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 26 and 30 reads, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives.
Man, I'm going to tell you, I would love to hear how Jesus sound when he sang, because he said he sang with them, right? Mm-hmm. Now, he Jesus, he without sin, right? Mm-hmm. What did he sound like when he sang? When he sang to the Lord, it's not like Ella Fitzgerald, she hope it's a God that she's singing to. He know it's a God he's singing to.
That's right.
So what was he singing? Did he just, you know, did he sound like Marvin? Did he sound like Luther? Did he sound like Barry? Did he sound like Teddy? Grass, not Riley.
Thank you for making that decision.
I had to put that out there. Yes. Some people be like, Teddy Riley? You know, some of us don't know who Teddy Pendergrass is, but we know who Teddy Riley is.
Right.
Did he sound like him? You know, I'm just saying. You know, when he sang, and I can read in the law that he said God is going to sit down with us and sing. Can you imagine God singing over the whole kingdom? Him on the throne of God singing over the whole kingdom while he's there. Can we imagine that? Not the angels, not the Levites, not a choir, not your bro, not your sis, not Ella, not Teddy. Him on the throne in all his glory, he said, I'm going to sing over you. Oh, man, I want to see. I don't know what that feels like. I want to know what that feels like to hear his voice vibrate through my being and what it would do to flesh. What it would do to flesh if we heard the word of God. Man, if you could just see grass and trees and fruits and everything just out busting.
Yeah. Hallelujah, baby.
Trying to tell you.
Yes.
Man, this is a kingdom shot, man. Yes. And to sit up here and say that this is a misprint, I ain't having that, Jack. Because my salvation is on this one. Mm-hmm. We want to sit up here and see, this ain't a salvational issue. That's a salvational issue. We don't get to pick and choose what's a salvational issue because the word of God said, man should live by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. That's from Genesis to Revelations from what we have. So everything from Genesis to Revelations is a salvation issue, especially a Passover. And we're going to say, that's a misprint. That's error. Right? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Matthew chapter 27 and verse 1. We're going to read down to the 10. Because remember now, he already sent Judas out to betray him, right? He said, thou hast said, right? So here come the whole thing. Now we got a snowball effect. Read on.
Matthew 27 and 1 reads, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate.
See, that's why he couldn't be around on the 15th day. This is all a Passover. Mm-hmm. And he said, let all your males present themselves before me on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, Jesus is here. This is the Passover. But he ain't around on the 15th day, so I can't see him breaking his arm. Mm.
Amen.
Read on.
Amen. Verse 3.
Yes, ma'am.
Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders.
Oh, he got paid?
Yeah.
So people's paying people to, that's in the word.
Yeah.
He paying, people is being paid that's in the word to be spies.
Yes, baby. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Is that what they just told
me? Yes, bring that out. Agents.
You got agents inside the camp.
Yes, you do.
Being paid.
Yes.
To know the word.
Yes.
And to fellowship.
Yes.
And take part in those things.
Yes.
To be spies. Mm. To betray righteousness.
Yes.
That's what we're born for. Mm. Spies.
Mm.
Facebook moderators.
Mm-hmm. Bring it out, baby.
Hebrews.
Yeah.
Out here tearing people down.
Mm.
You know, keeping nonsense up. Mm.
Discord.
On purpose. Pay for that.
Yeah.
Work for the powers that be, spies. Because this is Judas working for the power that be.
Right.
So now you're telling me that that ain't going on now?
Nothing new under the sun.
Tell me it ain't. Mm-hmm. Tell me these secret agencies don't have agents in these camps.
They do.
Say, I dare you say they ain't at the ALG.
Say
they ain't the House of Jacob.
Mm.
Or the Israel or Church of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Or UIC.
Mm.
Or ICUPK.
Okay.
Or FOIP.
ABCDFG. No, stop.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, we get it.
So that's where the transgender get the labels from. Yeah. LPG, because yeah. Y'all use the
alphabet.
Yeah. Everybody is an alphabet now. You know what I mean? Abbreviation.
Yeah.
But anyway, they got spies, man. And Jesus is telling you these spies is called Judases. They're going to die for that. They're going to die for that. Because they selling their souls for right. They sold their souls onto damnation, not righteousness. On the damnation. Continue.
Amen. Let's read 3 again. Then Judas, Matthew 27:3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is it to us? See thou to that.
So the priest is like this. The priest, the most holiest people in the land, is like that.
What is it to us?
What's that to us? They hired them to do it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's your issue, sucker. Wait, I thought you knew what we was about.
Mm-hmm. Saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood.
You don't want that. You can betray innocent blood by uncovering secrets.
Yeah.
Read on.
Ooh, don't do that. Don't do that. Verse 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. Wow. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, is it not lawful for to put them in
now they gonna remember the law.
Because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field as the Lord's appointed me.
What? So Jesus was valued at 30 pieces of silver, right? Okay. So right here, reading Matthew's, this is in the prophets, right? So let's look at that. Let's go and read that. Let's go into Zechariah chapter 12 and 9.
Zechariah 12.
Yes, ma'am. Zechariah 12 and 9. When you receive it, read, because you know, we got some of these Hebrews got a problem with the name of Jesus Christ, so they say JC, like they hurting somebody. Dude, you really don't know. God, I'm not on the streets no more. And now I know why God didn't have me come to that New Year's party.
Oh, yep.
Not that I didn't want to be with my family, and I don't love, no, and that I love my brother Elijah. Don't get me wrong with that. And no, don't miss, no, that's not what I'm getting at. But this dude offended my wife. If I'd have seen him there, it'd have been a different kind of conversation. That little stank face.
Hey.
And we both would have got kicked. No, I would have got, no, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm not going to say no. I'm just hoping to God I never see that little dude. I'm praying to God. I don't see him anywhere. And I'm everywhere. And I'm there. I can run up on him anytime. I'm everywhere. I'm all over this country. You never see it coming.
So, we're about to take the Passover this evening.
And I'm trying not to remember that mug.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to go for a long walk around the lake today. And we're going to breathe and repent.
I don't care about his rhetoric. No. You know, everybody a false prophet, this, that, and the other. No. That rhetoric is nothing. But okay. When he pop off on this, now you got an issue. Now it's personal. It takes a brand new level. It's like messing with your children. All right, it's one thing about correcting, but you're going to try to harm, discredit, disrespect. That ain't going to happen. And that's the reason why. And she really wanted to come. And I'd have seen that dude, that party would have got turned out. You already know. I told y'all going to. Everything is in my mind is keeping me from smoking that dude. Anyway, go ahead.
Zechariah, right?
Yeah.
12. Am I the first line?
Continue.
No, I didn't do Zechariah yet. So Zechariah 12, and where do
you have verse 9.
Okay, good. I meant 9. Zechariah 12 and 9. And it came, and it shall come to pass in that day. Oh, Jesus. Holy Spirit, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem.
Okay,
I get it. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of a Hadadrimmon in the valley of Megiddon.
Yeah.
And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart.
Okay, so.
Is that what you wanted me to
say? No, that's not what I want you to do. No, I'm trying.
Was it the Lord also should say that? No. You had me go to Zechariah. What did you say, baby? Was that the right one?
That's when he's on the cross, and that's definitely not the right one.
Okay, so.
Why did I write that there?
I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, because that's definitely not it. And that's Zechariah 12 and 9, right?
12 and 9 reads, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And I will pour upon the houses of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the spirit of grace.
I tell you what, just let's continue and I'm going to find that verse again.
Okay.
But go right into.
Because the last thing you had me read was Matthew 27 verses 5 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where do you want me to go next?
Just go to Matthew's chapter 27 and 11.
So continue to read?
Mm-hmm.
Go to 11? Okay.
Yeah, verse 11.
So we're going back to Matthew 27 and verse 11.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Matthew 27 and 11 reads, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witnessed against thee?
Mm-hmm.
And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Okay.
Come on.
19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil have he done? But they cried out more, saying, let him be crucified.
Look at here. This is the worst thing that anybody could die from. This is supposed to be the holiest people on the planet.
Yeah.
Us, right?
Yeah.
And we rather see a wicked man get away than someone who never hurt you,
right.
Never sinned against you,
right.
Never lied on you, right. But been there for you. We rather see him be persecuted than the wicked. That's us now. We still got that same mentality even till this day. I found the scripture there.
Oh.
Yeah, it's Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 12.
Oh, okay.
I had wrote it in reverse.
Oh.
Okay, but we're going to come back to this 12 and 9 because that's still hot. Because he on the cross, right?
Zechariah
11 and 12.
Amen. Zechariah 11 and verse 12.
Uh-huh.
And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me.
No. Pick it up at verse 10.
Okay. Zechariah 11 and 10. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder.
Whoa, that was a big deal to have a staff, and it had to be, you know, we had our own hookup, you know, like our cars, and we had our little accents on our staffs and this, that, and the other. Nobody's staff was the same. It was impossible for anybody's staff to be the same unless it was made in a factory. So,
right.
He said the staff of beauty, and he cut it in half. He cut it up. He said, I took my staff, even the beauty, and cut it asunder. Read on. This is the same staff he's supposed to be set with the Passover. Read on.
That I might break my covenant, which I had made with all the people.
So God got a staff. Because he the one that made a covenant with the people, with Moses, right? So that's his staff he's talking about he broke. Read on.
And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver.
There it is. This is the Lord. He said, they weighed for my price. 30 pieces of silver. That's what they put in Judas' hands, right? There it is. Zechariah talked about it. Read on.
Amen. Verse 13 reads,
uh-huh.
And the Lord said unto me, cast it into the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut asunder my other staff, even band, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd.
That is, now replace the righteous shepherd with foolish shepherds.
Wow.
Now we're going to go, now they're going to teach us to not keep the laws of God.
Ooh.
See that? He called that the instrument of cruelty. A foolish shepherd is a instrument of cruelty from God. And if you fall in a foolish shepherd, you got a problem. But if you see this, he said, give me my price. And they priced him 30 pieces of silver. And they took that 30 pieces of silver, and then they put her in the potter's field, just like the priest said in John. I mean, what was that, John? Or Matthew's? That was Matthew's 27. Exact same thing. He said, they told him, say, you see to that. And then he went and killed himself, and they took 30 pieces of silver and put it in the field, like he said. Let's look at this a little further. Now let's go back. I just had to reiterate. I had to find that scripture. But I'm glad the Lord put this in my mind, because this is a great script, and I don't want to forget it. But let's go back to that Matthew's 27, and let's pick it back up at verse 11. Because now Jesus is telling you that he gave his life for the sins of the world, even Barabbas.
Yes.
Yes, didn't Barabbas get let go for him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
So it don't matter what type of person you are. Even Barabbas was set free by the blood. Listen, of all people, Barabbas.
Are you hearing what you're saying?
I'm trying.
Say it again.
Barabbas.
I really need you to hear what you're saying.
Of all people,
right. The
Lord took the place of a murderer, a thief, right? He took his place. That's him saying he took our place for death. No matter where we at, he'll take your place. He took your place already. All you got to do is get in the water and you'll be okay. Yeah. What did you think? I hope you ain't trying to make that any better. I'm still gonna slap that dude up.
Would you stop?
I ain't gonna slap him up. That's because the Lord ain't gonna let me see him. Anyway, read on.
Okay.
What was it?
Matthew 27. You want me to go to 11 now?
Yeah.
That's what I was reading. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. Want me to read all that again?
Come on.
Okay. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had...
Stop. So he said, and he didn't answer the governor nothing, right?
Nothing.
Go over to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7. Read that verse 7, we're coming back.
Isaiah 53 and 7?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Isaiah 53 and 7 read.
Come on.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth.
That's here. He's brought as a sheep to the slaughter. There it is. That's why he was brought before Barabbas. You know, a lamb without blemish. Barabbas was a lamb with blemish. He was a lamb without blemish. He took Barabbas' place. Right? That probably was the best day of Barabbas' whole life.
Right, amen.
And I hope he repented from that day forward, after seeing everything that took place or surrounding him.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I would really be disappointed if I found out that dude was still out there bad, even after seeing Christ being crucified for him.
Mm-hmm.
Even after all of that, he still was out there bad and being set free from death. I would be really disappointed.
Amen.
Where are we?
I just read Isaiah 53:7.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to St. John chapter, no, Matthew's chapter 27.
And verse 16.
Yes, ma'am. And read down to the 25.
Matthew 27. And 16 read. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man?
Mm-hmm.
For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him.
And see, people get them signs and everything from God. Look, don't be out there tailbearing. Don't be out there messing with people. Don't be out there putting in false witnesses on people. The Lord warned you.
Amen.
And then here you come. Here I come. And the Lord sit up there and we'll go along with that madness. Read on.
Amen. Verse 20. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. 23. And the governor said, why? What evil have he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified.
See, this is the thing with Israel, man. We'll follow a crowd of everybody and anybody, even to destruction. For whatever reason, man, we can be naive to the righteousness, and too quick to jump on somebody's bandwagon when they sow in discord. Continue.
Amen. 24. Matthew 27:24 reads, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person.
See that?
See ye to it.
There you go. Now I'm going to give them to you. Mm-hmm. But his concern is not mine. It's his, mm-hmm. yours. Mm-hmm. You see that? His concern, y'all, go ahead.
Amen. 25. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children.
Who and what?
Ooh, his blood be on us and on our children.
I could take that two ways, but my first assessment is, I hope my grandparents was out there.
Amen. I pray my Lord.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And I hope it wasn't none of my forefathers putting a smack down on them.
Amen.
I hope it wasn't none of my fathers, none of my fam. When he was crucified at that time, I hope they was in another part of the world.
Amen. That's fine.
Because that particular time, it went down. It went down.
Yeah.
And here go Jesus, man. It went down. Continue. Oh, that's 25, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at this a little further. Exodus 12 and 6. No, continue reading. Read 26. You read that 27 and 26. Yes, ma'am.
26 reads, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified.
Stop.
Scourged Jesus.
Let's look at this word.
Then released he Barabbas, and when he had scourged Jesus, then he delivered him to be crucified.
Let me make sure I'm spelling that right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. After he scores Jesus.
S-C-O-U-R-G.
Got it.
Okay.
Let me.
Go ahead and read it.
No, you.
You want me to read it?
Yeah. I like the way you read that.
Hey. Okay. You want to go down Revelation?
Yeah.
Okay, so Scourge. A source of widespread dreadful affliction and devastation, such as that is caused by pestilence or war.
So Jesus was devastated.
Devastating.
We take that word lightly, you know, devastation or whatever, you know, oh man, I can't believe that happened. We're just devastated. This man set himself on fire at the Trump rally.
Yes, he did.
I was devastated. I was like, whoa, what was that? And all the media trying to clean it up. Oh, you had mental illness. No, you know, it's just, oh man, it's a really terrible thing to happen outside. We just wonder what it is. We feel sorry for the family. Ain't none of that going out. They so busy trying to protect this dude. Mm-mm. Read on.
Yes, sir. A means of inflicting severe suffering, vengeance, or punishment.
Severe punishment, right? Read on.
A small whip used to inflict punishment.
So he was whipped. You know, some of us say with a cat with nine tails or with hooks and this, that, and the other, how it was, whatever instrument that they chose to use, it wasn't nothing nice because when they got done, he was ready to die. So it was bad. It was really bad. This is why, you know, I'm asking people, man, they sitting up here talking about just a memorial, and I'm reading this, and, you know, because I read and I say, Scores, you know, God just put in my heart, stop, read that. Look what he said that they did to my son. And I looked. I said, oh, my God. And all of a sudden, this thing got, I started seeing me. What if I went through this? Or I can't imagine this, what he went through for us. Right? Read on.
Amen. It also says, to afflict with severe or widespread suffering and devastation. Ravish?
Mm-hmm.
To chastise severely. Is that escarate?
Mm-hmm.
To flog. Oh, yeah.
Flog.
That movie.
Yep.
I cry.
Yep.
To flog. Flogging was horrible.
Yes, it was.
A person who harasses, punishes, or causes destruction.
So he was harassed and destroyed. What do you mean destroyed? Because his, once they got done, his body was not going to be good for nothing.
Right.
You see, so he was physically destroyed. Read on.
Amen. It says to punish severely, and then go down. A whip or lash, especially for the infliction of punishment. A person or thing that administers punishment or criticism. A cause of affliction or calamity. To whip with a scourge, to punish, chastise, or criticize severely.
Well, mine say this. It say to whip, use, or afflicting, punishment, or torture.
Mm.
He was tortured. Mm. Your God, Christ, was tortured for you. And this is a misprint. This, all it is a misprint. We're going to take this event to say it's a misprint. Of all events in the Bible, I would have been cool if you had said that the Sabbath day was the sixth day or the eighth day. But this is a misprint. I don't think we'd be hearing ourselves.
Amen.
Are we good?
We're good.
All right, let's go back to the scripts. He was tortured. Right? Okay. What was I? Okay, go to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 6. So Jesus was being tortured, right, before he was led to the cross. So now we see that scourge means torture. Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Is that Matthew 27:26?
Okay. Read that. Okay.
So Matthew 27:26 reads, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus. He delivered him to be crucified.
Okay, so he tortured him, and it wasn't no getting away. He was going to die, right? Okay, now let's go into Exodus chapter 12, right? Exodus chapter 12, and now let's read that again. Exodus 12 and 6, and read to the 8.
Exodus 12 and 6 reads, "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs they shall eat it."
There it is.
There it is.
He said, "You shall eat that flesh that night, roast with fire." Why? Because his flesh was roasted with fire. Getting that? Not siding at all. No, you know, not water, none of that. This one here was on fire. You had to roast it. Couldn't break a bone on it. This here was in fire because his body was on fire.
Yeah.
His body was on fire because he was being tortured. Just like, you know, the Mel Gibson flick, right? I beg to differ. I thought Mel Gibson did a decent job.
Yes, he did.
But I really feel like it was a lot worse.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was a lot worse. Because, you can't conceive the things that Rome did back in the day. And they put their hands on the Christ. So he got to pay them back. That's coming. You know, it's okay to be an Italian, but, you know, some Italians, you know, they like this. Hey, you sold yourself for that. You know, our family ain't got nothing to do with that. You deal with that. That's a personal issue. Make this a personal issue. Separate yourself from this world. Because when God come back, he's coming back to reward those that put him in this situation. And we don't want it. You see what I'm saying? Let's look at this a little further.
Amen.
Let's look at this. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 27 and pick it up at 26 and read. No, pick it up at 26 and read down to the 30.
Amen. Matthew 27 and verse 26 reads, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of the soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe."
So they stripped him naked, right? They took his clothes off and put on a scarlet robe. Who knows if it was clean or not? You just know it was red, right? And they put this on him. And then they start to what?
It says, "And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him and saying, Hail, King of the Jews."
You know, Israel got this thing real bad, you know. This thing. But this is that. Hail be the King of the Jews, right? Read on.
Amen. 30. "And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him."
So now they done spit on the man, they scourged him, they tortured him, they mocked him, they spit on him. And we want to say this whole event is a misprint. The most important event between God and man, that this man was going to die for our sins, and we want to take this scripture and say, this is not the first day of unleavened bread. Who get to say that? Who on this earth got that kind of authority? I'm just amazed how much power we give people.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to the word. Read on.
Amen. Amen. Okay. 32?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Matthew 27 and verse 32 reads, and as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene.
That's good. Let's go to John 19:4.
John
19:4. Yes, ma'am.
John chapter
19:1.
John chapter 19 and verse 1 reads,
uh-huh.
Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands.
Wait a minute. What do smote mean? You know, we like to lean our own understanding, but I like to get the gravity of it.
Amen.
It says here, read that.
Okay. Smite.
He said, with their hands, right?
Uh-huh.
So this is that thing, like, you know, let's see what type of, he said, and they, so it was more than one. It don't say how many. It could have been a lot. Could have been a lot of soldiers. They surrounded him. So I know fear was running through his blood.
Amen. To smote, it says, a smite. To strike or hit hard with or as if with the hand. A stick or other weapons.
See? And they did. They tortured him.
They said our other weapons.
Wait a minute, man. They beat him up.
Yes, they did.
The guards did. They beat him up. The Roman soldiers beat him up and then tortured him. Mm. And then tortured him. What else he said?
It also says, to strike down, to injure, or slay.
To deliver and deal.
Number two, forgive me.
Yeah.
Number two says to deliver or deal a blow by striking hard.
So it ain't one of them love taps.
No.
This is the real deal. He ain't playing. It's like we sitting up there looking at Rodney get his head kicked in again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The L.A. riots. I mean, it caused riots.
Yep. It's like watching him getting the hell beat out of him all over again.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Okay.
Yeah, you was there.
Yeah, I lived there. That was a scary time.
Yeah.
Well, before I came to the Israel guy, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's that thing, man. It's like watching Rodney get beat up. That was astonishing, you know, because it was caught on video and it took the world by surprise that the police got busted doing what they do best.
Yeah.
Is taking a black man somewhere in the middle of the dark and beat the living snot out of him, take him to jail, and then release him after
they
took out their anger on him. They still do it. And then they did it to George Floyd and whatnot. Yeah. They've been doing it through time.
Yeah, they just did it.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. So, no, man, you know, I've been seeing that since I've been growing up, man. They even threw me in the back of the car, threatening. I was, what, 12, 14? They threw me in the back of a police car, called me niggas and everything, and said, we got to throw you in the alley.
Why?
Kill you and call it gang related.
Why?
I don't know. I was a child. But I knew they were serious because when they decided not to kill me, they got a phone call of a home invasion.
Mm-hmm.
And they took me over there and they brought me and said, is this him? And the lady came to the door. She said, that's a baby. Mm-hmm. No, this ain't the man that broke in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to let me go.
Mm-hmm.
So they was intent. They had intent. You know, they was going to try to ruin my life one way or the other. So no, man, I, you know. Anyway, the Lord taught me what hatred and racism smell like, look like. Trust me, I was sitting in there. It was two white dudes. One big, tall, blonde dude, blue eyes. Little short one looked like a little Italian dude.
Mm-hmm.
Or Edomite. You know, even Esau, he was short, brown, dark brown hair, brown eyes. And they was trying to, they was like going, contemplating whether or not if they was going to do it, carry out what they planned to do. I was just sitting in the back. And after a while, I stopped being afraid. I just started looking at him. And I was looking at his eyes. I was looking at his eyes. And I said, oh, that's what hatred looks like. That's what it, because I'm in there. And then I could smell it. I could smell what hatred looked like. Because it was coming up. So when I'm around certain white people and I see that expression or I smell it, I know where I'm at. And don't get me wrong. One of my best friends just happened to be a Gentile. He's a little older than me, but he's a Gentile.
Amen.
So God showed me, everybody ain't like that. But, just know where your surroundings.
Amen.
I'm good with that. That was a great education. Not that I cared to be educated like that, but I'm glad I found out that way versus actually finding out George Floyd way.
Right?
I got away. Floyd didn't. Read on. Jesus didn't. What else it says? Smite. It says, let me finish reading this. It says, to deliver, deal a blow, strike hard, strike down, injure, or slay. So they were beating them hard enough to kill them. They weren't just hitting them and slapping them up and down. It was trying to kill them. Yeah, we are pushing up on that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, to afflict or attack with deadly or disastrous effect. To afflict mentally, morally, emotionally, with a strong and sudden feeling. Are we listening to this?
Yes,
it says, they were smitten with terror. So this is that conversation, brothers and sisters. Let's see. Yeah. Our people on Blog Talk, we're going to say God bless you. And we're going to finish this up at the time of...
Oh, this is true. Who you say called in,
baby. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay.
So, and it says this to a... it just won't be on a recording.
Right.
Okay. To affect mentally, morally, man, because Jesus could have stopped this. He could have stopped this. Don't think he wasn't thinking about it. But his thing is, I'm doing my Father's will, right? And said, emotionally with a strong, sudden feeling, terror, to impress, it says, what else? I guess that's it. Okay, so that's what smoke means. Where are we?
We were at John 19:1-3.
Continue.
Okay.
So they hit them so hard with their hands, they were trying to kill them. I watched people get, it's a whole bunch. You got 5 or 6 dudes, maybe 10 or 15, trying to hit you like Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Read on.
John 19, verse 3 reads again, and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saying unto them, Behold the man.
Look, and by this time, his body was destroyed.
Mm.
He was good for death at that point. Anybody that was at this point, probably, if that had been anybody else, they'd probably be wishing they were dead.
Yeah.
You see? Read on.
Amen. Verse 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.
Okay, now go to Isaiah chapter, because they smote him, right? So go to Isaiah chapter 52 and 13.
Isaiah 52.
And 18.
Okay.
13.
Isaiah 52 and 13.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. No, Isaiah. And 13 reads, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men."
So they destroyed his body. And people was astonished at him, right? Wow. When he brought him out, he said, behold, here he is, right? So after he got through doing what he do, the people was what? Astonished. What do that mean? Wait a minute. Reiterate that.
You're looking it up. So filled with emotional impact of overwhelming surprise or shock. Amazed, astonished.
They was astonished. Everybody,
stunned,
they were stunned when they saw
unaware,
him.
Taken unaware, suddenly and feeling wonder and astonishment.
They was one. They like, what are we? What? They wasn't expecting him to come back looking like that. He was so marred that they was astonished at him. And then the priest is like, instead of claiming their guilt, instead of saying, we went too far, they kept pushing the issue, crucify him. You know, these are the same ones that are sitting there, even though they can clearly see the Passover is the first day of unleavened bread, they still saying, crucify him.
Ooh.
Instead of just repenting.
Amen.
And saying, you know what? Feast is the first day of the living bread, and I'm with God in Christ. This is something I'm not going to play with because it is the Lord's Passover. And I'm not going to sit up here and believe anybody when the book is clearly telling me the Passover is the first day of the living bread. You know, let's look at this a little further. In fact, let's hold that there, right? So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify some. We're going to get back to this, man. We got the whole week on unleavened bread to deal with.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we got to prepare for the feast.
Oh,
you got to prepare for the feast.
Oh, hold on. You're up and right there to remind me.
What?
Wait, baby, let me get it out the box. Hold on. You can't see my butt. No, it's not
what?
Just a little bit. I know we're in the hotel room, but just a little bit. Just a
really?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Ah!
You know? Yeah. Come on, baby. Amen.
I ain't going no higher. I do it outside, baby.
Okay, do it for the people for just a little bit.
We in
there,
so
just one more. They probably think it's an alarm.
Okay.
Just a little bit. Okay, that's good. Shake it up in here.
So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time with Holy Edify. So
and you know, the Passover before they take it, baby. Hey, seriously, do not take that Passover. Do that out with your brother.
If your brother got out with you.
And don't take the Passover if you haven't dealt with yourself inwardly.
You know, and I'm going to tell you something. This last season, man, I've been listening at these dudes.
Men and women.
Yeah. I'm saying dudes. It's all over. You know what? Now that you mention it, it's been these. Now women is out here snapping.
Men,
out.
Women, just
everything. And I'm just saying, and now people want to sit up there and say, you know, and then they want to take the Passover and act like God didn't mean what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, like I said, brothers and sisters, you know your surroundings. You know who you are. Just remember, nothing can't remain until the morning. So when you keep the feast tonight, keep it at a minimum. If it's just you and your family, just cook a nice little meal. right? Just a small little meal. That's it. That's all you got to do. And it'll be good.
Bread, wine, unleavened.
Definitely unleavened. Have your staff in your hand.
Right.
Have your staff in your hand and enjoy the feast.
Enjoy.
Now, those of us that's not keeping the feast tonight, we still hope you have a blessed and a peaceful feast week.
Amen.
Of unleavened bread.
Amen.
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 Amen. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for the time. We hope we edify someone as we say, here at the Sounds of Living Waters.
Amen.
Come and see ministry.
Amen.
Commonwealth of Israel. Please.
Read your Bible.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You want to close that out, baby?
Amen. Shabbat shalom, family, grace, and peace. Oh, I said Shabbat shalom, didn't I?
It is.
Oh, well, amen. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Amen. My big old thing in there. Let me see.
Shabbat shalom.
Oh, I said Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
My big old face. That was good, baby. I'm glad you blew that. We did the Sarah West side of it.